Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, it's almost time, believe it or not, for the NBA season and the Cavaliers to kick off again. And I know that it is a little harder to believe that they can actually win without LeBron James. But back when he was with us, back in the start of the 2015-2016 season, they had a theme. And that theme, and they pick a theme every year, that theme, 2015-2016 championship, was all in. How many remember that? All in. That was the theme. It was all in. And LeBron and company came back from being down in the championship series. They came all the way back when nobody else thought they could, and they won the championship against the Golden State Warriors. But it took every one of them, every player on that team, every person on that team, giving everything they had, being completely committed, going all in. You know, another place where the phrase all in is used is in poker. Right? Poker, I said that in church, right? I'm not a gambler, and I am not advocating gambling. You can read the Bible about that. However, one day I was intrigued. You ever been flipping through the channels? And I'm a big ESPN guy, a sports guy, so I'm flipping through the channels, and ESPN came on, and they had the World Series of Poker. Anybody ever flip to that? You don't want to admit it if you don't. It's okay. But anyway, in poker, when you have your chips and you have your cards and all that kind of stuff, and again, this is what I understand. This is the way I've, you know. But anyway, there was a player that was so confident in the hand that he had, so confident in what he had, that he took all of his chips, everything he had, he pushed it all to the center, and he went all in. And that's kind of the idea, that you are so confident in your hand, you're so confident in what you have, that you're willing to go all in. You're willing. It's a do or die kind of a situation. It's a situation in that moment where you're no longer hanging out in the middle, but you're willing to put everything on the line. Everything on the line. It's a win or lose all. It's an all in or nothing. It's a put up or shut up. It's a go big or go home. You know what I'm talking about? And so it got me wondering, when I hear that phrase comes up and I hear that phrase and I see that and people so confident, willing to go on. It got me wondering what would happen if God's people decided that they had so much confidence in their Savior that they were willing to go all in. What would the church look like if everybody was willing, who knew Jesus Christ, willing to finally say, you know what, enough is enough with all the other stuff that we drift in and out. You know what if we all decided, you know what, it is time. We are going to go all in and be completely committed to Jesus Christ and completely committed to the work of Jesus Christ, completely committed to his cause. What would happen if we did that? And it got me wondering, what is it that we hold out on? What part of our lives are we holding back? What part of our lives has God been pulling at us and calling us to? And we kind of are a little afraid. We're not quite sure. We don't know if we have that trust. We don't know if we're really ready to go all in with the Lord. I think if we go all in, is there anything we couldn't accomplish for the Lord? Is there anything we couldn't accomplish for God? Jesus kind of put it this way. And this is a hard scripture, but Jesus put it this way in Luke 9, 23 and 24, and he challenged his disciples. They've been walking with him for a little bit. This wasn't the initial invitation to follow, and we say that we look at that invitation and they put down their nets and they left their nets in the boat and they followed him. This was even a little bit later on down the road. They'd been following him a little bit. They've been seeing and been walking with him. And in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23, Jesus issued this challenge. He said this: if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That's quite the challenge, isn't it? And how do you think these followers of Jesus responded? How did they react? Well, most of them took up that challenge. Most of them took up that challenge. Following his death and his resurrection, they went out and literally they changed the world. The Bible says that these are the men who were turning the world upside down. And what happened? How do we know they went all in? Well, following Jesus' death and resurrection, consider this. In AD 44, King Herod ordered that James the Greater be thrust through with a sword. He was the first of the apostles to be martyred. And so the bloodbath began. Luke was hung by the neck from an olive tree in Greece. Doubting Thomas was pierced with a pine spear, tortured with red-hot plates, and burned alive in India. In AD 54, the proconsul of Hierapolis had Philip tortured and crucified because his wife converted to Christianity while listening to Philip preach the message of the gospel. Philip preached and continued to preach even while he was on the cross. Matthew was stabbed in the back in Ethiopia. Bartholomew was flogged to death in Armenia. James the Just was thrown from the southeast pinnacle of a temple in Jerusalem. After surviving the 100-foot fall, he was clubbed to death by a mob. Simon the Zealot was crucified by the governor of Syria in AD 74. Judas Thaddeus was beaten to death with sticks in Mesopotamia. Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, was stoned to death and then beheaded, and Peter was crucified upside down at his own request. Out of all of those, John the Beloved was the only one who died of natural causes, but that was only because he survived his own execution. When a cauldron of boiling oil could not kill John, Emperor Diocletian exiled him to the island of Patmos, where he lived until his death in AD 95. Jesus said, unless you're willing to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. That's what he said. If you're my disciples, you will deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. See, I think the disciples were all in. Why was the world so impacted by them? Why was the world so impacted? These who waited and were filled with the Holy Spirit, why was the world so changed by them? Because they were willing to go all in with Jesus Christ. They were willing to go all in. And that's the question that we need to take a look at, and the question that I want to examine over the next couple of weeks. What does it mean to go all in? What is Jesus calling us to as his disciples? What does it mean for us to go all in? You see, Jesus calls us to go all in, and anything less than a complete surrender of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is robbing God of the glory that he demands and the glory that he deserves. Amen? This is not going to be a mamby-pamby feel-good message series. Some of you may not come back next week. But I'm telling you, this is what Jesus calls us to as his disciples. He is calling us to go all in. And in fact, as we're going to see, I think when we don't go all in with Jesus Christ, we're actually cheating ourselves of the blessing that Christ wants to bring to our lives. We're cheating ourselves. So today I want to look at someone who Jesus challenged, someone who came in contact with Jesus, and he challenged them in a way that to be honest with you, kind of makes us kind of go, wow, Jesus, don't you think that's a little bit extreme? Makes us kind of feel bad a little bit for the guy, but I want to look at this, and I want to maybe take a different angle from it today and help you come away with maybe a different approach today. But somebody that Jesus called today to go all in, but the result was sad. And the story is found in 3 out of the 4 Gospels, each writer including some different details. And so I'm going to go between a couple of the Gospels today as we bring out a few more details of the story. Who are we going to look at today? We're going to look at a story popularly called the story of the rich young ruler. The story of the rich young ruler. And we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit today. And we kind of see his need. And I'm going to look at Mark's Gospel first. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. It opens with these details. It says this, and as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Sounds like a great question, doesn't it? So here's Jesus going along on his journey, and all of a sudden, all we know is that there's a man that runs up, he kneels down, and he says, good teacher, what must I do? I'm looking for eternal life. I need eternal life. I recognize I need something eternal. What's happening in the natural is not enough. How do I know that I can have eternal life? Now, I don't know about you, but that would be like absolutely wonderful. We're out on the street, and we got people running up to us and kneeling down. How can I have eternal life? That'd be the greatest evangelism ever, wouldn't it? I mean, that just doesn't happen like that. So, I mean, immediately, if I'm Jesus, I'm getting really excited. Wow, we got an open follower. I don't even have to, like, preach a sermon. I don't have to share a witness. I don't have to go back and forth. I mean, I got this guy who just really wants to know, how do I have eternal life, man? This is willing. This is the opportunity. This is great. If you're me, if I'm, you know, that's me, I'm, like, all excited. Woohoo! This guy's, his attitude seems humble. He kneels down. He says, good teacher. I mean, he seems like he's wanting to honor and seems like there's humility. I'm thinking, what a great open door. Luke's gospel tells us a little bit more. The story's in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? We find out a little bit more. This isn't just a man. This is a religious leader. This is a guy with a religious background. He's somebody that has a little bit more background. So knowing the kind of battle that Jesus has already had with some of the religious leaders of the day, some of the people that were in that, now we've got a religious leader. Not only is he bowing down, but he's asking Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, this is great. This is a great opening. This is wonderful. And we know that some translations call him a local official, so he was also part of a governing body, obviously, very religious background. Later, as we read in the story, we find out that he's also a person of great wealth. We find out that he's young. I mean, this guy has everything that it would be going for him. I'm thinking, wow, Jesus, this is awesome. Look who just came up to us. Look at his approach, and look at the question he's asking. This is an open door. This is great. Matthew 19, we're going to look at Matthew now. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16, for a few more details and read on in the story. It says, and behold, a man came up to him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. And if you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which one? So it's going really good. Okay, keep the command. Well, which commandments? Which ones do I keep? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these I have kept. All these I have kept. Well, that sounds really good, doesn't it? But then he continues on, and it's not good enough. And he says this, what do I still lack? You see, what we find is on paper, this rich young ruler, this rich young man, on paper, he was the epitome of religiosity. But sometimes religiosity and hypocrisy are kissing cousins, aren't they? Here he is, everything money could buy, his whole life in front of him. He was a religious leader, and they even tell us he was quite religious, keeping the commandments. All these I have kept. I have done these good things. I have done these good. I have done all of this. And yet, in the midst of doing all of that, in the midst of having the material positions, in the midst of having the position of success and rulership and power, in the midst of having youth before him, he says, but there's still something I'm missing. I still have something that I'm missing. And I want to say today that in an affluent America, in the nation in which we live, where there is so much opportunity and where there is so much that we have that is there, there is still something missing. In fact, some of you today, even though you come to church and even though you know Jesus, there might be something still within your relationship. You go, what is still missing? There is still something missing. There was a statistic, and I was just watching the news, and I couldn't write it down fast enough, and I don't know what it was, but it said today that people are dying younger today than they were before. Up and through 2016, they did a stat, and they categorized the stats, and there's more and more people that are dying younger. And they said, what is attributing to that? Do you know that over the last decade, suicide rates are up higher than they've ever been? According to this news report that I watched, and it was from the CDC, and I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it, but they had it on the news. You know, everything that's on the news is truth, right? So we just got to believe it. But they were highlighting, but I believe it. They said suicide rates are higher. They said that more and more young people are dying early because of opioid addiction and overdose. We have a crisis. We have a crisis. We have an enemy who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And even in the midst of everything that we have, everything that we, all the opportunity that we have here, and yet you have other third world countries that don't have the things that we have, and yet the suicide rates are lower, and they don't have near the high addiction rates. Why? Because all the things that this young ruler had, everything that he kind of had, he still had an emptiness. There was still something missing. And friends, in our lives, sometimes there's still something missing. And here he is. He comes to Jesus and he says, what's missing? There's an emptiness in his soul. What am I still missing? What am I still missing? I think the rich young ruler may rank as one of the most religious people on the pages of Scripture. He said he kept all the commandments. But you know, the thing is righteousness isn't just about not doing what we shouldn't do. It's also about doing what we should do. It's not just about doing what we shouldn't do. I think so many times we get focused on all the things that we shouldn't do. You know what that's called? There's two types of sin. That's called the sins of commission. The sins of commission. That's what we tend to focus on. We tend to focus on the sins of commission. We tend to focus on the don't do this and the don't do that. And if you don't do this and you don't do that, you don't do this, then you must be okay. And we get so focused on that that we think we're okay, but that's only holiness by subtraction. It's more hypocrisy than it is holiness, because sometimes there are other things that are going on, things that God is calling us to, things that God wants us to do that we don't do. That's called the sins of omission. Sins of omission are the things that you should do, the things that God is calling you to obedience, but you don't do. It's not about just, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. It's also about what is God calling you to in obedience that you have been unwilling to surrender and say yes to. And oftentimes, it's the sins of omission. You know, I'm an earthly father. I love it when my kids don't do something wrong, but I love it even more when they do something right. I love it even more when they do something right. And you know what? God loves when we do something right. And he's preparing good works for us in advance. He's prepared good works. That's what Ephesians tells us. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. God has some things not only for you not to do, but he's got things he's calling you to do. Obedience, things he's calling you to do. And there are times when we don't do that. God can do immeasurably more than we ever ask or imagine. And I think it's time to just not only to play defense. I think sometimes we need to stop playing defense and we need to start playing offense. We need to start getting on the offensive. We need to start doing some things to play offense. Not just not doing what's wrong, but start doing what's right. We can't just follow the rules, friends. We have to follow Jesus. Even though this young man was successful, even though he tried to obey all the rules, even though he had all that was there, he was still empty inside. And Jesus was recognizing that emptiness was because it wasn't just about not doing all those other things, but it's about there was something more that he should be doing. There was something that he should be doing. And he said, what's still missing? And Jesus offered him this challenge. And this is where the story gets a little like, whoa, I don't know. Now we're stepping across the line, Jesus. But he gave him this challenge. He said this, if you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. What? So you want him to do what? You want him to give? You want him to sell all? And this is not a tithing message, okay? Because if I'm Jesus, I'm starting with the tip, you know. Well, just tip a little bit, or maybe you should just tithe, you know. Why don't you give the 10% and just tithe? That's maybe where I would start. If I'm Jesus, I'm saying, Jesus, you're telling him to give everything. Why don't you back off a little bit? Let's give him a little bit of time. Let's help him grow a little bit. Let's help him understand. Let's let him get his feet wet. Let's let him dip his feet in the water a little bit, tip a little bit, tithe a little bit, see how you come through. And then as you come through, he can trust you with more and you can give more. And Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't just start in the shallow end. Jesus grabs this guy and throws him in the deep end and says, unless you sell all, go sell all. You want to be perfect? You want to see what's missing? Go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. That's radical, isn't it? Jesus is calling this guy to go in, all in. He's calling him to go all in. This guy's coming to Jesus. He's kneeling down. He's saying, what am I still missing? What's going on? How do I find eternal life? And Jesus says, here it is. You ask, here it is. Go sell all, give it to the poor, and follow me. I want you to go all in. I want you to go all in. Jesus goes right for the jugular, doesn't he? And it says this. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, before we look a little bit at what was going on and what Jesus was really asking for, I think we need to understand the heart of Jesus. What was the heart? Is Jesus harsh? I mean, have you ever felt bad for the rich young ruler? I mean, sometimes I feel bad for the guy. I'm like, oh man, Jesus, that's hard. That is harsh. Man. But you got to understand the heart behind Jesus. And so, again, each gospel writer gives us a little bit of a different perspective. That'd be like you and I, you know, if we were around together and we're watching something happen in front of us, you're going to have different details than I have. You're going to see things a different way than I see things. You're going to come away with certain things. And that was what it was like for the disciples as they were following. Different ones were getting different things, different angles, different things that they saw. And so Mark tells us this, and John Mark was writing, and we believe on behalf of Peter, and he writes this, Jesus looking at him loved him. Jesus looking at him loved him, and he said, you lack one thing. You lack one thing. But notice, what I want you to notice is Jesus did what? He loved him. He loved him. Jesus is not trying to be harsh. When Jesus is calling this guy to go all in, when Jesus is calling this guy to sell everything that he has and follow him, he's not doing it from a position of hate. He's not doing it from a position of wanting him to lose out. He's not doing it from a position of where he says, listen, you're going to be hurt by this. This is going to harm you, or you're going to get judgment. He's not doing it from any of that. He looked at him and he loved him. How many of you know that there are some times when love isn't just giving us what we want? Love is sometimes giving us what we don't want. Love is sometimes difficult because love understands that there are some things in life that just aren't good for us. And Jesus understands the heart. Jesus understands the human soul. Jesus understands exactly what we need. And he doesn't always give us what we want. Rather, he loves us. And he knew that to fill an empty soul, the accumulation of possessions, success of power, rigid religious obedience wasn't going to be enough. There was something more, something else that was missing, something else that had this man's heart, that had a hold of him. And Jesus says, you're holding back in this one area. And if you will go all in this one area and follow me, you will find the answer to your question. You will find the answer to your need. You will find what you're missing. And that was the decision. That was the choice. The choice came from Jesus' love that said, I don't want you to hold back because I want to give you what you really need, not what you want. And I think that sometimes we look at this and we don't understand the heart of Jesus. We don't understand that he loved the rich young ruler. And I think it's one of the saddest things that he walks away and he misses out. Why? Because I think that there was so much upside. I mean, if you take a look at this rich young ruler, if he would have gone all in and followed Jesus, my goodness, the leverage that could have been done with the resources and the influence that he had, the energy that he had. I think there could have been great things, but there was a liability and he was missing out. What was Jesus offering him? A better exchange. You see, when Jesus asks us to go all in, he has something better that he wants to give us in return. This is not just us going all in and surrendering and, oh, this is sacrifice, although it may feel like sacrifice. Let me tell you something. What Jesus offers is just an exchange, and what he's giving us is something better. What he's giving us is something better. See, he loved the rich young ruler enough not to ask for anything less than all. We focus on what Jesus asked him to give up, but oftentimes we fail to consider what the rich young ruler missed out on that Jesus was giving him in return. If you think about it, this is the point in the story that we should gasp, but not because we should gasp at what Jesus was asking him to give up, but rather we should gasp on what he walked away from. See, between my junior and senior year, I had the opportunity to do an internship. And it was a part of growing in ministry. And so I had the opportunity to go to a church in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, Faith Assembly of God with Pastor Don Immel. And I had an opportunity to be there with his staff. And during that internship, I got different opportunities. I got to see different facets of ministry. They brought me into areas where I didn't have any experience, where I didn't have any idea of what was going on, what ministry looked like. They gave me some hands-on experience, and they were there to walk with me through it. How many have ever had an internship in the job that you do? An internship is important. If you know anything about the kind of doors that the right internship can open up, it can really open up an opportunity for different careers or a pathway. And so what we have here is Jesus saying to him, listen, I want you to give all that you have right now, but I'm inviting you to the greatest internship ever. Follow me. I'm inviting you to the greatest internship that you will ever have in your life. Forget about vocationally. What I'm going to give you, the opportunity I'm giving you is going to far outweigh the cost that I'm asking of you. I dare say that in the history of humankind, there has not been a better internship that has ever been offered. I mean, think about it. The rich young ruler had the opportunity to do an internship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. He had an opportunity to I mean, that's got to look good on a job application, don't you think? I mean, you know, what a reference. He had the opportunity. If you feel bad, I mean, you should ask, look at what he passed up here, the opportunity he passed up. When Jesus asked him to give up, it was nothing compared to what he had given. Look, in our day and age, the average person didn't travel more than 30-mile radius from where they were. So when you think about the disciples, they would have been hanging around fishing around the Sea of Galilee, and they probably wouldn't have got much further than that. Maybe they may have taken a trip to see the temple in Jerusalem, but beyond that, they would have stayed around near their house. But you got to take a look at the rich young ruler here and what he was given. He was given a 3-year internship opportunity where he would have had the opportunity to go camping with Jesus, to go hiking with Jesus, to go fishing with Jesus, to go sailing with the Son of God. He would have had box seats to every sermon that Jesus Christ ever preached and the miracles that he'd done. He would have had the opportunity to hang out backstage and see Jesus beyond just out in front of the crowds. He would have had the opportunity to fillet the miraculous catch of fish, to fry it and to eat it up. He would have had the opportunity, can you put a price tag on that? The opportunity to walk on water, to go sailing with the Son of God. These are the opportunities that he could have had. He could have had the opportunity to drink the water that Jesus changed into wine. I know that's a little controversial. The disciples might have been poor in terms of material possessions, but they were rich when it came to experiences. They were rich in what they experienced in the adventure of going all in with the Son of God. They were rich in what it meant to leave their nets behind, to leave their tax collector booth behind, to leave their friends behind, to leave those things behind, to go all in and follow Jesus. And Jesus gave the rich young ruler the opportunity to go all in. He gave him the opportunity to push all the chips that he had, to go sell all and to follow him. He was giving him the greatest opportunity in exchange. In exchange for what he was asking, he was going to give him something even better and satisfy what he was lacking in his soul. And yet he walked away because he couldn't let go of his possession. The verse following, the one that says, take up your cross daily and follow Jesus, gives us that same reason for the radical call to go all in. It says, whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What that says is that you can hang on. There are things that Jesus is calling us to let go of, that Jesus is calling us to surrender, but for whatever reason, we keep hanging on to it. Maybe it's not material possessions, but maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a friendship you just can't let go of. But I've known this person forever, but every time you're around them, it continues to take you down and make decisions you shouldn't make. And Jesus is saying, I want you to let go. I want you to go all in. Maybe it's unforgiveness. You're just so afraid that if you forgive and you let go, that Jesus isn't going to punish that person like you think they deserve. You're so afraid that he's going to offer them such amazing grace. You got to continue to hang on to that hurt and that pain. And the only one in prison is you. Maybe it's whatever that sin is that you just keep going back to over and over again, like a dog returns to his vomit, that you look to, that you go to, and that you find is whatever it is that for that brief moment helps you escape from the pain. But Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to get set free. I want you to come to me. I want you to go all in. Maybe the Lord has been calling you. Maybe he's called you into ministry. Maybe he's called you into an area, but you're not willing to trust him. You're not willing to step out and follow where he's calling. God is calling us to go all in. And the rich young ruler, he was calling him to go all in. You know, I think sometimes we've Americanized the gospel, or we spiritualize the American dream. I don't know. Take your pick. But I think we've been sold a bill of goods that the accumulation of material wealth and status is what's going to bring us happy. The good life is being our own boss, where you get to do what you want to do and nobody gets to tell you how to live. But that's not the gospel. In fact, Paul defines the deal that's on the table this way, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Man, that's the great exchange that has taken place. The moment that we bow our knee to the lordship of Jesus Christ is the moment that he took all of our sin, all of the sin that was on our account, on our ledger, and transferred it to Jesus Christ. He became sin for us. In his account, we transferred it all to his account, and our sin, our account, was marked paid in full. Isn't that a great exchange? It was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. Friends, that's called mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, the wrath of God. But in exchange, we get the grace of God, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. That is, in exchange for our sin, we gain the righteousness of Christ. He gained our sin, we gained his righteousness. We gained his righteousness. Everything we've ever done wrong, forgiven. Everything Christ ever did right, his righteousness is what we were given. Mark Batterson, our pastor and author at National Community Church there in Washington, D.C., he wrote this. He said, it's like God says, I'll take the blame for everything you did wrong and give you credit for everything I did right. Doesn't get any better than that. That's what's called the gospel. That's why it's good news. The best news. See, the gospel costs nothing. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. It's received as a free gift, compliments of God's grace. So it costs us nothing. But let me tell you something. Just because it costs nothing doesn't mean it doesn't demand anything. It costs nothing, but it demands everything. It demands everything. And that's where some of us get stuck. We get stuck in this spiritual no man's land. We're too Christian to enjoy sin and too sinful to enjoy Christ. We've got just enough of Jesus to be informed, but not enough of Jesus to be transformed. Just enough of Jesus to be informed. We've got just enough of Jesus in our mind, but we never allow it to bring the full transformation because we are holding back and we never go all in with Christ. We never go all in. Christ wants everything. He wants us to go all in with him. But some of us are worried, what is that going to mean? What am I going to lose? What opportunities may I not have? And he says, listen, I want to give you a better exchange. I've got something better in exchange for what you're holding out on. What are you holding out on me? What are you holding out on me? I want you to go all in. Psalm 84:11. You can take this one to the bank. It says, no good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does God withhold. And if we don't hold out on God, I can promise you that God won't hold out on you. It's all for him. All of it. Let me tell you one story as we close. I'm going to land the plane. Stanley Tam, and I read this story and I just had to share it with you. More than half a century ago, he made a defining decision to go all in with God. In one of the most unique corporate takeovers ever, Stanley legally transferred 51% of the shares of his company to God. It took three lawyers because two of them didn't want to do it. And they thought he was crazy. Stanley started the United States Plastic Corporation. He only had $37 capital. When he gave his business back to God, annual revenues were less than $200,000. But Stanley believed that God would bless his business if he wanted, and he wanted to honor God right from the get-go. But at that point, most of us would have been patting ourselves on the back. We would have been like, woohoo, look what I did. I gave 51% of my company. I'm only 49%. God's got it all. But after reading about the parable of the merchant who sold everything to obtain the pearl of great price, Stanley made a decision to divest himself of all of his shares. And here's how he put it. Here's how Stanley put it. He said, a man can eat only one meal at a time, wear only one suit of clothes at a time, drive only one car at a time. All this I have, isn't that enough? On January 15, 1955, every share of stock was transferred to his senior partner, God, and Stanley became a salaried employee of the company he started. That's the day that Stanley went in all in with God. And from that day to the present, Stanley has given away more than $120 million. More than $120 million. Stanley was willing to go all in. His story is a great story about the exchange. What we think we might lose, we actually gain when we stop holding out on God, when we make a decision to go all in with Jesus Christ. When we make a decision to go all in with Jesus Christ. So here's the question. Is Jesus your pearl of great price? Is Jesus your senior partner? You see, destiny is not a mystery. It's a decision. And every one of us are only one decision away from a totally different life. One decision can totally change your financial forecast. One decision can radically alter a relationship that you have. One decision can lead toward health, whether that be spiritual, physical, or emotional. Those are defining decisions, become the defining moments of your life. And like Stanley Tam, his defining decision happened on January 15th, 1955. But your decision can happen today on October 4th, 2018. What is the defining decision that God is calling you to? What is the area of your life that you continue to hold back on? What's the area of your life that God has been calling, God has been pulling, God has been saying, listen, I want you to go all in. I want you to let go of that. I want you to surrender that. I want you to give that to me. I want you to let go, and I want you to go all in because I've got a better exchange for you. I've got a better exchange for you. Here's the bottom line. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I think that some of you are missing out because you're holding out. You're holding out on God. And you think by holding out that it's keeping you from missing out. But God says, listen, no, the more you hold out is the more you miss out. And I don't want you to miss out. There's one thing. There's something that you're missing. Isn't it time to go all in with me? Some of you aren't experiencing the joy. You're not experiencing the intimacy that God wants you to experience in your relationship with Him. Because for one simple reason, you're holding back. There's an area you're holding back. And if you would go all in that relationship with Jesus, your life, your relationships would radically change. So during this series that we began today, and over the next several weeks as we begin to share about some folks in the Bible, as we begin to look at their lives, and we begin to look at how they went all in with God over the next couple weeks, here's my prayer. My prayer is that you would have an all-in moment. That you would have I would love it if it would be today. But my prayer is that over the course of this series, you would have an all-in moment where God would begin to speak to you, where His Holy Spirit would begin to show you an area of your life that you've been holding back, that He says, listen, if you will surrender this, if you will surrender this, if you will follow me in this, if you will surrender this, then you will find life. You will experience life. You'll experience what you have been missing. And so it's my prayer that you would push to the middle of the table and that you would go all in. So let me ask you as we close, what risk do you need to take? What sacrifice do you need to make? What decision is before you that could define your destiny? Is there something that God has been calling you to that you say, you know what, I haven't been obedient in that? Maybe you're okay as far as the sins of commission. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, I don't do that. But you're losing joy. You still have no joy in your faith. There's just something that's still not there. You look at the register of your life, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I just don't understand. The question might not be in what you're not doing. The question might be, what is God calling you to do that you haven't been obedient in? Today's the day to repent. Today's the day to go all in with Jesus. Jesus is calling us to go all in. Jesus is calling us to follow him. Let's bow our heads today.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.